Blog Talk Radio.
Our environment, we have the power to change it. You know, if we
I've been really noticing, and it's funny you're saying about going back to an old idea of being, as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. It also, I've been revisiting the sub-personalities and how important it is for them to be in balance and listening to each other and talking to each other. And really, how, like in Almeen's book, Journey into the Heart of God, she talks a lot about this, the sub-personalities. But Angel, I've been really looking at how important it is for us as, major light workers on the planet to have that firm, solid foundation to build on. Because if we don't, then, everything else that we're bringing in, all this higher consciousness, it doesn't have a place to hold it. So to have that solid foundation where we know once our inner family is in balance, it's we're able to stay self-sovereign and interact from a place of mastery and not be pulled into the dramas or illusions, the density around us. I just been really looking at that this last few days, like for the inner child, when the inner child is balanced, like its job is to feel. So, it can't interpret or analyze. That's the sage's job. So the inner child has the feeling, okay, I want to go out and play now, and then gives that message to the sage, and the sage analyzes it, and then the nurturer is being a good parent to the inner child and making sure everything is, in place to make it feel safe and looked after, I guess. And then the inner warrior sets up the strategic plan to, put it all in place. And when we don't have that, when we don't have those personalities or those, inner aspects of ourselves, like talking to each other and listening to each other, the masculine, the feminine, kind of a little
out of hand.
out of hand. Yeah.
Oh, just to sound like a politician, but it's more than out of hand. It really hell breaks loose.
Yeah, it does. And just, like we experience things like depression or moodiness, there's instability. Just when our, if there's, the sub-personalities are not in balance. And I don't know about you, but I've been seeing a lot of that in people, and
Would I be the exception? I know I'm exceptional.
you are exceptional.
Okay, now you put me in an ultra good mood here. Okay. I'm exceptional, but I'm not the exception to the rule.
There you
Let
go.
me tell you, this self-personality, this inner child needs to be cuddled, needs to be cared for, loved, nourished, and feel safe. And I was just like cracking earlier when you said it seems like the warrior has been it's gone on vacation because the poor child is left alone in the playpen and it feels like abandoned.
Yeah. And
So
then, yeah, it becomes needy and chaos happens. So when we learn to, to listen to our inner child, You know, we can have fun and adventure and, you know.
Well, I was having a situation yesterday that I think it would have devastated thousands of mothers, and I just decided to go and watch a show at the theater because I need to keep in the vibration of joy. And it's not that I'm not disacknowledging my feelings.
Right.
It's just what it says there. You know, I'm not being drawn by appearances. I don't allow myself to be drawn into the appearances of what it seems is happening, because we know that all the layers that are truly happening, we can only experience all of it when we are ready, when we are at the right time. So, you know, from my small vantage point, I can see a limited perspective. So, but I know that, you know, getting caught up in the drama isn't going to help anybody. So I was in a big process yesterday afternoon, and then I was going to go and see the ballet. But it's so amazing how everything always plays out. I was going to, my friend that has seen the show on Saturday, she said, Sandra, you have to see this. It's like so beautiful, exquisite. The last show is tomorrow. You have to. And she says it's at 5. So I was getting ready, and then I phoned in at 3-something, the ticket office, and they said, oh, the show is at 4, and I had to, like, travel quite a distance. So, okay, I said, so what is next? Because it seems like I needed something else.
Yeah.
So it was at 9, it was the Tango Passion. I'm like, okay, let's go and see that. And I truly stay there and pulsing the emotions, the pure emotions, the passion, the joy, the feminine, the beauty of the colors, the costume, the dresses, the art, the just how the body surrenders to the movement and to the music. And, you know, I heard something for the first time. There was one of the songs, though, there was also a singer that was singing without the dance. She did a few songs, and she says, to dance, so part of the lyrics of this song, she says, to be able to dance, you must love life. That was part of the lyrics.
Oh, I love that.
And it just, like, hit me straight all the way into my inner heart. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. It feels like I have come home when I heard that.
Yeah.
Because I love dancing. It's like, I truly love dancing. And
I know.
And I'm like, okay, this is really great news. I'm loving life on behalf of those who are not.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you for dancing and pulsing passion and joy. And
It was such incredible experience last night, because I saw costumes, like clothing, like I have never seen before. And the second act was a little more modern tango than what I have been used to, and even from the first act.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, there was a dress. Her back, half of her back was like nude, and the dress would just come together on the left hip clip. I seriously, I don't know how this is happening. What? I mean, I said, I want to order the dress that comes with the body.
Yes.
So it's like so inspiring to see all that. And also, you know, to have different levels of awareness,
yeah,
like how their bodies must be like strong, and also a part of the body that sometimes is a challenge for me, and I know you had experienced also some challenges, is the knees.
Yeah.
And you have like a special kind of, I have no idea what powerful knees to dance tango, because the leg goes left and right, like there is there is no back and forth, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, just admiring the beauty, the power of physicality last night.
Wow. Well, that sounds amazing. And it feels like such a high frequency being that space.
Yeah, I was just, and it's so funny, we had people, my girlfriend and I, she had people to sit down from her, a man, and then I had, on my left, I had a couple to sit down from where I was sitting. So in the intermission, you know, they left, and they never came back. We don't know what happened.
They have intermission?
Yeah, they have intermission. It's a 2-hour show. So.
I was thinking it was a movie.
No.
Wow, a live show. That's even better.
It is. And they have intermission too sometimes in some movies here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, not in all of them. Which one? Oh, I saw The Seventh Son. I guess it was a longer movie or something. We had intermission, but after that, I haven't experienced intermission. But this last night was, it's a live show, my darling.
Oh.
It's a live show.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I was just, practicing my new way of walking. After seeing how they walk, oh my goodness.
Wow.
It's such elegance and elasticity and very like feminine, and it's like a nice dance with life, like a seduction to life. That's what it felt like. So much passion.
Wow. And you know, when the inner warrior is functioning in wholeness, that's his job, is finding the inspiration in life. So, well done there.
Really? I didn't know that part of the inner warrior. So, mine is not on vacation, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Mine is actually on overtime.
Yeah.
Well, finding the inspiration, that's one of the quotes that I have on my signature. Actually, I copied from, of course, our beloved Almin, and it talks about that. It talks about how I'm looking for it, so I don't have to make up the words, because it says inspiration is present everywhere to the one who has the awareness to find it. So a mundane existence or a mundane experience, we can transcend it through inspiration. So through inspiration, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. But we must have that little key that is awareness. And I was just talking to a client of mine just before the show, and I was just telling her, because she has been experiencing high levels of awareness, and I said these incredible sigils, to which the angelic writing is so powerful, is a sigil. It has the angelic vibration and the light and the frequency combined, gives us the gift of awareness. So they have particles of awareness, and this is why Belvaspata is an effortless and graceful gift to humanity. So effortless, we will get our insights, we change our perception, and then we change our reality, and we can transcend.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? I know. And that's why, as we, you know, gain more and more perception or higher consciousness, the Belvaspata keeps updating and changing too, because of the awareness particles. Yeah, there's, You know, I feel there's so much about the sigils that we don't know. You know, I'd love know more about.
I know you have asked me to come on the Belvastata show. I did, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can also say this on the Belvastata show, because I had a recent testimonial from someone here in Lisbon that he was just telling me that last time I did a healing circle back in December, he couldn't join, but he was outside the classroom in the same building. And he was telling me how he was feeling the Belvastata angels in him. He was in a separate room, but he was tuned in, and his intention was to be tuned in to the session. And he was telling me how he was feeling the work of the angels in him.
Wow. Just by being in the building.
Yes.
He must be very sensitive.
He is. He also said something that I really don't know how to make a comment or what, but I got a chuckle out of it. He said, "Sandra, when you left for Canada, I felt the angels left with you."
Oh.
That's sweet.
That is sweet.
He says, "I really felt that. That they were not," and somebody else had said that to me too. It feels familiar comment. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know how they operate, as you're saying. There's so much more to discover about the sigils, about the angels, I don't know. But people tell me they're very attuned, and they see me walking with a huge angel behind me. They tell me.
Yeah.
Do you love it?
I do. I love it. Yeah.
So as soon as we call upon them, they come, they show them. Before the radio show, we were calling the angel gods, and wow, I started to feel the shift.
Immediately, yeah. I've been working a lot with the angel gods recently, and oh my God, I love them so much. They are incredibly powerful, but really gentle, is what I find. Like, they feel very different than, of course, the Belvastata angels. But yeah, I'm really enjoying working with them.
You know, speaking of inspiration, when Amin called the angel gods, the 999 angel gods, for the first time in Ohio in 2013, you know, they truly brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Because Amin asked us, what inspires us? He says, what inspires you? What does inspire you? What brings you to feel inspiration? And she was asking us, you know, individually to give an answer. So after a number of us share, then she shared, and then the angel gods came through her, and they said that we inspire them for sharing what inspires us. I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you kidding? We are inspiring you? Yeah. And I remember one of our sisters said that I don't even have words to describe, but she says that she's inspired by sitting under a tree and watching the little ants walk, like go around.
Oh.
And that really, really touched me. Our sister Judy said that.
Oh. That's beautiful. Actually, last week we were talking about you were talking about your daily mantra, and I've been having my daily mantra.
Yeah.
Which is, today may I be inspired and inspiring. Mm. Setting the intention to find the inspiration and to be an inspiration.
You know, the mantra that came to me while I was watching the show last night was from our favorite Arasadma book, The Sacred Breath of Arasadma. I create my reality through the resonating emphasis of my heart. I was like, okay, what is there that I cannot create at this vibration?
Say that again. What is there?
What is out there that I cannot create at the vibration I'm at right now? I can create absolutely everything.
Yes.
So this is why inspiration is so key.
Yeah. And it opens up possibilities and opportunities. It helps us see, you know, things that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inspiration is the higher vibration, and it comes from the Latin in a spirito, meaning in a spirit. So, meaning, you know, the highest version of who you are, or the version, may I add, that has the larger picture, that is able to see the larger picture.
Yes. So what would you say is your greatest inspiration?
Well, I don't know. I think it changes.
Yeah.
Changes all the time.
In the moment.
In the moment.
Yes.
Whoa. I don't know. It's like I'm seeing a film of everything I see right now. Wow. I'm inspired by seeing how people, you know, put themselves together, how they find a necklace to wear. What did that? Wow, I was having a coffee yesterday, actually at Starbucks. They're opening more Starbucks now here in this. When I was having a latte here, and then this woman came to the line, and she was wearing like this version of what you could call a huge lamp, but it was like round, and a necklace. And I was like, wow, that is so beautiful. I never seen a necklace like that. And I was just wondering what made her pick that. What kind of feelings were evoked in her so she could buy that necklace. It's just like, I just love it. And she's wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, but she has this necklace that made me see more beauty.
Yeah. I feel like she was speaking volumes with that necklace.
Wow. It was like, you know, imagine the size of your thumb and your index, like where they meet, like that size.
Yeah.
It was like a ball. It was like a miniature of more welcome lamp into a necklace.
Wow.
So I was just like, I decided to sit there. There was an empty chair. There were three young girls, around my daughter's age, in their 20s maybe. And they were speaking Spanish. So I asked if I could sit there. I said, I don't know. There was no chair in the whole Starbucks. This was the only chair.
Oh.
So I said, okay, I'm going to share with them here. And I just listened to them. They were talking. And actually, they were talking about one of them, about children, speaking about the inner child. I think she's studying something to do with children. So she's saying, she comes home so tired. So I'm like, oh, really? From working with the children.
Yeah.
So I was sitting and feeling them, and I started to talk with them for a little bit, and then I left. But it's just, listening to the whispering of your heart always. I don't know how I touch them, you know?
Yeah.
But if we know that everything that we say in reverence and acknowledging that as we are pivot points for humanity, we're able to change without saying anything.
Yeah. I just want to share a little piece here that Almeen wrote, and she says, "Much is at stake in our quest to understand our inner pieces. The future depends on it, and the universe depends on the success of the future template. If we cannot learn the harmonious interaction of our sub-personalities, we will not have the necessary insights to change the future when we meet it again. That would mean we would have to again repeat this intensely painful loop. It doesn't have to be this hard. The future is determined by our choices today. The more we master the inner dynamics of the sub-personalities, the more we contribute to the success of the future and its peaceful resolution for the unity of diverse cultures. In other words, we can solve the problems of the macrocosm within, because a human being is in every aspect representative of the whole." Isn't that great? It doesn't have to be this hard.
No.
We change it by the choices that we make today.
So the warrior is just a personality that will sort of be doing its job properly if it's inspired.
Yes.
So what can we say about the sage?
The inner sage is the analyst.
Mm-hmm. So how can he be of best service?
He listens to the inner child, and he takes that information and then analyzes it. And then, you know, gives the scenario over to the warrior. The inner nurturer and the inner child are the ones, they're the investigating team. They do the undercover work.
The inner warrior and the inner sage.
The nurturer and the child. They're the ones who, you know, gather the information from, like, see behind the appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And then relay it. They talk to the sage. Then the sage analyzes all the information and then hands over the analysis to the warrior. Then the warrior takes all the information and comes up with a plan of action. So, you know, they're all talking, but the child doesn't go to the warrior because the warrior can't. They speak a completely different language. They don't, you know, they can't understand each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just for a moment pausing here, and we haven't heard. When are we born with a forceful personality? So, like a child that is under five. I never heard any information around this. I'm not sure if you have. So is it after 5 years of age that people or children will start developing the sub personalities? Because what I'm thinking is that up until that time, they would be depending in their parents to defend them. They would be, you know, normally asking their parents to have a strong warrior. So if a parent doesn't have a strong warrior or healthy warrior, better said, then they would feel abandoned.
Yeah. That's a good question. When did do the sub-personalities, are they something we develop as we grow? Like, do we start out with the inner child?
Yeah, do we start with the inner child, the innocence? And because we don't know how to interpret the information when we're children,
Right.
we just know where we want to be. We're not analyzing, oh, this is, you know, this shouldn't be, this is perfect,
yeah.
this is not perfect. We don't know how to nurture ourselves. We just know we want that toy. And we want that toy and that's it.
Yeah. Or we're hungry, we need to be fed now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are the subpersonalities then something we grow into?
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah, and I think we're just gonna leave that hanging to see what we can get.
See,
and also wanna talk briefly about my vision in Dreamtime of her beloved Almin. So I'm like thrilled that I saw her a couple nights ago in Dreamtime after a long, long pause of not seeing her in my Dreamtime. So, oh, she was like beautiful. She had like her hair to the back. Actually, I'm thinking she didn't have her hair down. I think she must have had it in, like, in a ponytail. I don't remember seeing her, like, her body, or just remember seeing her face. So she didn't have her hair in the middle, parted in the middle. She was, like, gold. Her hair was gold. Her face was gold. Everything was golden.
Wow. So you haven't had any dreams with Omi?
Not that I remember, since December.
Wow.
Since the equinox, that's when I had the winter equinox. That was my last, my conscious dream. I'm not saying I haven't had it.
Yes, yes.
Consciously, yes.
Yeah. Well, that feels amazing. And, you know, with everybody around the world doing the Cornish Belf Hospital,
I can feel the masters. I can feel the masters doing Belf Hospital, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It feels like that golden light going around the world.
Well, that makes sense. Honey, we started doing it. When did we start doing it officially? Saturday. That's when I had the dream, Saturday night.
Yeah, see?
Oh,
last week we were talking about the emerging, and then I had with the polar bear, which is emerging. The polar bear represents emerging from a time of
worship.
Yes, and clarity. So
entering into a new cycle.
Yes. And today, when we're pre-recording our show, actually, because the time difference, you're in Portugal and I'm here in Toronto, we have the day out of time. So it feels amazing, actually, to be doing the radio show on a day out of time. Usually I have to work when it's a day out of time, so I'm very happy to have today where...
So that is
dreaming, dream
the
dreams.
The 23rd of March of 2015.
Yes. So it's where Almin says our reality becomes non-physical. Even though we might not feel the difference, but we can set big trends in motion and shape the quality of unfolding trends. So it's, you know, it's important to spend a day in not as much doingness, but in beingness and silence and peace, and dream how you want your life to be. And it's funny, I had forgotten it was the day out of time today, and the rune I had picked was so perfect that it tied in with that. With the message for how to spend the day out of time. You know, it was something about practical details. You can have lofty dreams, but you need to put the details into the dream to make it happen. So it's, you know, it's a good time to sit and, you know, and just be inspired by life around you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having that polar bear dream in the morning that you woke up to it, and it's just great. Well, I was just feeling there was something else we needed to talk. Oh, so this is exciting news because shortly I will have a Bellwaspata healing circle today.
That's perfect for the day out of time.
Wow. And you were talking, I was hearing you, and then suddenly I went into, I didn't even have words for this, it's just coming out of my mouth, into the library of the mantras to pick my mantra for today.
Oh.
And it is, I am a current of the ocean. That's my mantra.
Yeah.
I'm a current of the ocean for today. It's almost like the mantras are there and then there is a note that we play each day. So it's like the active note in the song. In the symphony.
Well, it's setting your intention to, you know, it's putting the practical details into how you want your day to unfold.
Going back to that, Angel,
yeah.
I love it. Yes. So yes, let's take time to do that, to create that space of where the dreams are. I create it, and then they become a reality if we take time to solidify their details.
Yes. And it's wonderful for everybody who's participating in the Kanish Bhavastata for All Mean. It feels so powerful and amazing to be sharing that with everybody.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like an elf in quest.
Oh, I was waiting for you to get the card. I knew the elves were talking. I could hear them. Please, please, please close the show with a card.
We have Maxi Erinespov. Sorry, I think I'm just, there is something happening. I feel really expanded right now.
Yeah.
Excuse
yeah.
me. Sorry, it's Mekpi Erenespavi. Contentment is the underlining foundation of a happy life. It is built through the appreciative enjoyment of the details. Purely coincidental.
Ha ha, no, you had it all arranged. You had all the pieces glued to your desk.
Oh my God.
I know you did, Angel.
Oh yes, thank you, Angel Gods, for that lovely message.
Wow, the details. And that's so beautiful. It is really vitamins to my DNA.
Oh, I like that. Wonderful.
Thank you, Angel, and I look so forward to our next episode next week, and we'd like to leave our beloved life family with all of our praise, love, gratitude for holding the space, for walking this journey, for inspiring one another, and for doing Kanish Bhavastata for all of us and for our beloved only.
And I second all of that.